Our Lord Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is flesh, and what is spirit." I speak to you this day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever been in a situation where you are trying to explain a concept to someone, and no matter what way you put it, no matter what example you use, they just don't get it? Perhaps, like myself, you're often the one in the opposite position. Somebody's explaining something to you, and whatever they say, you just don't seem to understand. And it's not that you don't want to understand, but for whatever reason, the message is simply not getting through. This is what we have going on in our gospel reading for today with Nicodemus. We encounter this pivotal character, Nicodemus, in the Gospel of John, and for whatever reason, Nicodemus simply cannot understand who Jesus is and what he has come to do in the world. Although Nicodemus desperately wants to understand our Lord, he simply cannot. Perhaps we feel a little bit like Nicodemus at times in our own faith journeys and understanding of Christ. But that's okay, because as we are shown later on in the reading, most of the work in our relationship with Christ is done by him as a free gift to us. We are simply called to be faithful. As we've been doing this season of Lent, I guess it's the only second week, but as we are doing this season of Lent, I'm discussing a little bit the practices that we are exhorted to do. So this week is penance or penitence. Penance is defined as this: the action or feeling or showing sorrow and regret for having done wrong. Penitence is very close in relation to another word we know, repentance. Penance, although an inward feeling, also implies an outward action. That is why, for example, when one goes to a priest, they might give you something to do, a physical action, in order to help adjust your behavior. Today, as I say with Christians around the world, we are marking the second Sunday of Lent, where we have this gospel from John. We, as Christians, for thousands of years have been exhorted to undertake some of these practices that I'm discussing. Last week, we had self-examination, where we look into our hearts, minds, and souls to see where we have followed our own motivations rather than God's. And this week, as a natural extension, we are into penitence or penance. Lent is one of the two penitential seasons of the church, as I told the children, the other being Advent, where we are to turn toward God and make ourselves ready for something. In Advent, we make ourselves ready for his appearance, and of course, in Lent, we make ourselves ready for his crucifixion and resurrection. Penance does not need to be a negative thing, although it's often viewed negatively, but rather, if done properly and with true intention towards God, it can lead to new life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So back to our gospel for a moment. In our gospel, we have this very famous passage. Nicodemus, a religious leader, one of the leading leaders of his time, comes to visit Jesus at night. And Jesus tells him that he must be reborn or made anew or be born from above to enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, comes at night, as I say, because he doesn't want anybody to know that he is coming to see Jesus. Our Lord tells Nicodemus in a couple of different ways that to truly understand him, who he is, what his kingdom is, and what he has come to do, he must be born again and be made new. Jesus says to Nicodemus that he must be born of water and spirit. Our Lord is probably referencing the prophet Ezekiel here, which we'll get to in a minute, but Nicodemus is really not getting this, although he is a pretty smart religious guy. He says to Jesus, "I've already grown old. How can I be born again?" Our Lord furthermore says to him, "How are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this?" Jesus then shifts the conversation a little and talks about an image from the Old Testament book of Numbers, where Moses takes a serpent and holds it up on a pole for all the world to see. Jesus says to Nicodemus, he himself will be lifted up just like this serpent. Jesus, by making reference to this part of the Old Testament, is alerting us to the fact that his crucifixion on the cross is crucial to understanding who he is and what he has come to earth to do. Not only is the cross important to understanding who he is and what he has come to do, but it is critical to his healing of the world and the new life that he brings. And then Jesus says that most famous line of Scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." If we really want to understand this gospel and why Nicodemus is confused, we need to look at those two Old Testament references that Jesus makes, the one from Ezekiel and the one from Numbers. Jesus says to Nicodemus that he must be born of water and spirit, referring to Ezekiel 36. Listen to these beautiful words of Scripture. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you, and you will move and follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." Christ here is telling us that he will transform our lives. We will be made new, and the old self, the old order, will pass away. He will do the work for us, we are told in the Scriptures. This is not something that we can do, but something that God will do for us. And this is exactly why Nicodemus is confused. He comes to Jesus, a pretty smart religious guy, asking Jesus, "What do I have to do to understand this, to enter the kingdom of God?" Nicodemus wants to master God, where in reality Jesus says it will be God who masters us. And that is easier said than done, to let God master us. That's why Nicodemus doesn't understand, because he wants to be the creator rather than the created. But then Jesus moves to a second reference in the Old Testament from the book of Numbers. This is a peculiar part of the Israel walking in the wilderness towards the promised land. So in this part of the Old Testament, the people of Israel have left Egypt. Pharaoh has let them go. They've crossed the Red Sea, and they are in the wilderness for 40 years wandering around. And at times, many, many times, they disobey God. And so they disobey God at one point, and God, to punish them, sends poisonous snakes into the wilderness to punish the people. The people don't like this, so Moses prays to God that this might be taken away. So what God says to Moses is, "Make a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And when someone is bitten by a snake, they are to look at that serpent on the pole. It will be lifted up and they will be healed." This is a very interesting piece of Scripture, especially if we think of some self-examination like we did last week. We are all sinners in the eyes of God. We have all fallen short of his glory. We have all been bitten by those poisonous snakes and are in need of healing. And so we must look at something lifted high on the pole. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, just as that bronze serpent was lifted up on the pole, I will be lifted up on the cross, and the world will look at me to be healed, to be made new by faith. For Jesus will be lifted up for all of us to see. God the Father gave healing, life, and salvation to the people of Israel by that bronze snake hanging on the pole. God gives us that same life, healing, and salvation by us looking at his very self hanging on the cross for all of humanity. So you may be sitting here asking yourself the question, somebody actually fell asleep at the 9 a.m. They said they didn't get any sleep last night. But you may be sitting there, not asleep, asking yourself the question, what does all of this have to do with penance and the season of Lent? In reality, penance is not about physical actions or feeling bad or sorry about ourselves. It is, in reality, is about a reorientation of the heart and soul towards God. When we are convicted that we have done something wrong, we go to Jesus and we give it to him, even if we lack understanding, but we know something is wrong in our hearts. Like Nicodemus, we go to Jesus. We bring our sorrow and our need of healing to Christ. And in that action, we are made more and more like him. We are made new day by day. We go to the foot of the cross and we look at our Lord hanging there, and he exchanges our sorrow and regret for healing and new life. There is nothing we can do. Out of his love for us, he does it for us. Just as he told Nicodemus, "You must be born again," he tells us we must be born again. And if we go to Christ in faith, he will make that happen. For he is the God who gives new hearts of flesh and replaces those hearts of stone. He is the God who brings healing through the cross, and he simply does that out of his love for each and every single human being. Our passage from John again today ends with those famous line of scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that all who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Too often when we feel in a penitential state, when we feel sorry for the actions we are done, we try to hide those feelings and tuck them deep down inside of us. But rather what Christ is saying is, come to me and look at me up on that cross with my arms open for you, and I will embrace you and make you new. Amen.